It's where you go to bike, hike, and stroll miles of pathways over more than 7,000 acres of parkland. A place to go explore rivers and fish their bountiful waters. Natural places to go marvel at magnificent wildlife while you play outdoors and go wander charming communities. Find all this and more at Destination Downriver. Give it a go.
Today's podcast is presented by MarketInsights.us. With the podcast on YouTube produced by the City of Taylor's Media Center. Thank you for the generous support of our community sponsor. When your destination is beyond downriver, let Martinson Family of Funeral Homes help you and your family. With locations in Trenton, Allen Park, Mabee, Rockwood, and Monroe, their staff is available 24/7 at 734-671-5400. For more information, visit martinson.com.
Thank you to our team sponsor, Allegra, Marketing, Print, and Design. Let Allegra assist you with your print, mail, design, and signs. Located in Wyandotte, Michigan, or call 734-284-5330.
Welcome to Destination Downriver. I'm your host, Carl Zymak. It's captivating to see today's super ships spanning over 1,000 feet headed up and down the Detroit River. Downriver is the perfect place to view these behemoths from places like Dingle Park and Ecorse along East River Drive on Gros Isle or from Bellanger Park in River Rouge. There is a growing legion of boat enthusiasts who flock to the shorelines to observe and photograph these ships. The Detroit River happens to be one of the busiest waterways in the world, with a freighter passing Windmill Point in Detroit every 6 minutes. Joining our discussion today are two people who love viewing freighters. Robert Burns is the Detroit Riverkeeper, a lifelong downriver resident and riverkeeper since 2003. He literally grew up on the water. He eventually undertook a career in marine construction and engineering, involving many projects up and down the riverfront and others in the Great Lakes. Ron Heinrich is the president and CEO of the Southern Wayne Chamber of Commerce. While Ron is the driving force for the chamber and one of the chief architects of this show, Destination Downriver, he's also an admitted boat nerd. We'll join our panelists next with a great discussion. We're back with our panelists. We have Bob Burns on the far side, and we have Ron Heinrich in the middle, and we have expert and boat nerd.
That's exactly right.
Okay, so we're off to the races with this conversation.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, Carl, you know, I've been on a lot of these podcasts, and this is by far the most exciting for me because I am a boat nerd. Yes. I love watching Great Lakes freighters. I know Bob knows a lot about the freighters and all the different kinds of things. So I'm like really geeked and excited about this podcast today.
Folks, he's geeked. Okay, so enough.
You got the expert and then you got the nerd.
Okay, well, hey, let's get our first question here. Bob has spent his entire life on the river. You, on the other hand, haven't. What got your interest moving?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I was talking to Rich Williams, our program manager at Destination Downriver, about that, because he said, "Well, how did you ever get interested in Great Lakes freighter watching?" Because you're right, I didn't grow up on the river. I grew up in Livonia, through grade school years, and then I moved to Dearborn and graduated from Dearborn High. And I knew the Rouge River, which, by the way, is a good spot for freighters as well. But my first actual encounter with the Detroit River was 18 years or 17 years old. I needed to get my laptop fixed. It had a virus on it. So I looked the place up, and it happened to be in Wyandotte. Like, where in the world is Wyandotte? So I drove down Southfield, and I came up to Dingle Park. And I just looked at it, like, wow, this is amazing. What is this place? The water was beautiful. It was a beautiful sunny day. And I found out it's a beautiful gem called Downriver. And fast forward many years later, here I am. I live Downriver. I love Downriver. I'm the president of the chamber for the Downriver area. And I just absolutely love spending time, you know, along the river. But I remember being a kid and just having an extreme fascination with maritime history and shipping, you know, not just the Great Lakes, but across, you know, all seaways and waterways. And of course, I'm a huge fan of the RMS Titanic and the Olympic and the Britannic and all, you know, Lusitania and all the, you know, big ships of the of history. But the Edmund Fitzgerald, as many could say, is one of the most legendary ships, not just in on the Great Lakes, but it's known throughout the world. So I love the Edmund Fitzgerald, and that was really how I became a big fan of Great Lakes shipping. And I remember many years later going to Port Huron and, you know, learning about the Maritime Center there, which Port Huron is considered the maritime capital of the Great Lakes. A lot of boat nerds, you know, go to Port Huron on a regular basis, and that's where the boat nerd kind of like headquarters is, and Freighter Frank is based out of there, and all these people. But this massive ship just came up, and that's when I first saw what a super ship looks like. And it's longer than the Titanic was, over 1,000 feet, and it was the Great Republic. And I fell in love with freighters when I saw the Great Republic, which at that time was owned by the American Steamship Company, and now belongs to the Great Lakes Fleet. I can go on and on, Carl, but it's an easy thing to fall in love with Great Lakes shipping when you experience it firsthand.
Bob, is the Detroit River downriver, is it underrated for viewing freighters, or is it the perfect place to do it? What do you make of that?
Well, I think that there's certainly a number of great viewing areas along the Detroit River. I mean, obviously, I think, you know, you go farther upriver in the Detroit area, you know, you've got a little closer proximity to the freighters as far as viewing, but certainly downriver we have a lot of areas. You know, I'm someone who grew up in downriver, lived along the water, and been around freighters kind of all my life. So for me to see a freighter, you know, it's kind of a common day thing, and I think it may be to a lot of people in the area. So maybe we don't appreciate it as much as someone who is coming in the area and has never seen large freighters before and gets a chance to, say, be at one of the local parks or along the water when a freighter goes by and sees one. I think it's really some great opportunities.
What are, to either of you gentlemen, what are some of the best places along the Detroit River and the Rouge Rivers to get and photograph freighters?
I'll start, if you don't mind, Bob, and I know Bob will have a lot to add to this, being our river keeper. You know, the question you just asked, Bob, are we underrated? Absolutely. I mean, downriver, and I, you know, again, being somebody who's not originally from downriver and didn't grow up on the water, downriver is just a marvelous place to watch Great Lakes shipping and freighters. You know, and see the super ships of modern day Great Lakes shipping. Like I said, it's over 1,000 feet, and we're significantly underrated. Everybody thinks of Manistee, they think of the Sioux Locks, they think of even downtown Detroit, and of course I mentioned Port Huron and the Welland Canal, you know, over by you know, the Niagara River and so forth. Downriver is the perfect place for freighter and ship watching, and now you have the Viking cruise ship that's cruising along Great Lakes. So I know a lot of great people, and I'll just mention a few, but that of destinations. But of course, you have the Lake Erie Metro Park is where the ships are coming up upbounds and downbounds, you know, out of the Detroit River Channel into Lake Erie, and then into the Detroit River Channel. It's exciting to see that. But if you go on Gros Isle and you're on East River Drive, you are right there. You can see the freighters coming along in between Canada and Gros Isle. And I know a lot of people that live on East River Drive that are business owners, that are part of, you know, members of the chamber, and they wake up every morning, they can sit on their front porch, drink their coffee, and I've seen the pictures that they've taken are breathtaking of the freighters right in front of their house. Coming up and down, like I said, the Detroit River. But of course, you have Dingle Park. You have the Bellinger Park and the Mariners Memorial Lighthouse. Of course, you have Bishop Park and Wyandotte, where you can see them coming, you know, from over on onto the other side of the of Groziel, where I think where Hennepin Point is, if I have that correct, Bob. There's of course the entrance into the Rouge River. Tom Dalton from Under the Radar Michigan, many people recognize that name, a few years ago had the opportunity to go out on a kayak in the Rouge River here in the Downriver region with with Riverside Kayak Connection. And he, you could see it on video, they're rowing in their kayak alongside, I think it was an Interlake steamship freighter, a massive freighter. You can go actually like on your kayak, look up at that thing. And there's nowhere else you can do that, at least not many places you can do that other than downriver.
Wow, that is amazing. That was a mouthful. You got anything to add to that, Bob?
Well, he's covered a lot. And again, you know, in the downriver area, and you were mentioning the Rouge River, they built a brand new park up there, in the new 4th Street Bridge, which you can see the boats go by. And, you know, if you happen to have an app, and there's certainly plenty of those available to monitor shipping traffic, you can tell when boats are coming by and not, and there's nothing more interesting than to watch the bridge go up and a boat go through. So certainly, and like you say, there's great spots downriver. You know, I've been fortunate over the years to live on the water and live on the Trenton side of the Trenton on Groziel in the near the across from the McLeod area. And when I was a kid, got a chance to watch freighters come in all the time to the steel mill, and they turn around in the basin there, and boats would back down. They'd turn the boats there and back them down. The Sylvania used to go down to Detroit Edison there and unload coal there. So, I mean, you know, we are really fortunate to have really close proximities to see freighters in the area. And as Ron said, you know, there's no better spot than along Groziel there over on the east side there. You can see the freighters coming down through the channel and entering the Livingston. And they get all the way up to Detroit. And certainly there's a lot of great areas up in Detroit as well.
For the two of you, it just what your answer just begs this question: the catastrophe that happened in Baltimore with a freighter hitting a bridge, knocking it down, that kind of thing. I'm assuming that you guys followed that news story. What do we learn from that? Is boat traffic not as well regulated as it should be? How in the world does a freighter lose power?
There's an ongoing investigation with that scenario right now. I know that that was in the news last week about that investigation. I think that's the answer to that question is to be determined. You know, I know that there's a lot of stories that are coming out of that certain situation. I think at the end of the day, it was a horrific tragedy. You know, just a couple of days ago, I read that they uncovered or they found the body of one of the construction workers. He was inside his truck, submerged in the water. And so, you know, obviously we'll find out more, we'll learn more as that investigation continues. However, I do believe that obviously we have outstanding officers out on the Great Lakes today. Here, you know, and that's obviously that was a salty. That was a ship that I can't remember where it came from. I think it was South America. And I don't remember exactly, but which is a little bit different than our lake freighters. You know, they're different styles. And I will tell you that you'll notice when you're watching the ships on the Great Lakes. Sorry to change the topic.
No, that's okay.
Continue. You'll notice that there's salties, which are a lot of times international or foreign ships that come from other countries, and they're going across the oceans and they enter through the St. Lawrence Seaway. Those tend to be much taller ships than the Great Lake freighters. And they're kind of like, they're in terms of their length, they're not as long as the lake freighters typically. The lake freighters tend to be not as high or as tall as the salties, we call them, but they tend to be longer ships. As I mentioned, well, everybody knows the Emma Fitzgerald, which I think was somewhere around 700 feet. I don't have the stats in front of me, but you see these super ships today that are lake freighters that are, well, like I said, well over 1,000 feet. So it's interesting, as you know, somebody who likes to watch freighters, you can tell that, hey, that's a ship that goes on the ocean. That's an ocean, you know, going ship, and we call them a salty. And then you can tell what the lake freighters are, and those are, like I said, are usually the longer, shorter ones.
Bob, if somebody's just getting into this and is intrigued by this discussion and wants to go out and observe freighters. Any tips?
Well, I think, you know, if you're a novice freighter enthusiast and you're looking to go out, I think, number one, you want to know when the freighters are moving up and down the river. So there's plenty of apps that are available that will give you the time frames on when they're coming by. You want to pick a location where you're going to have a good view of the freighter. You know, you're probably going to want to have a pair of binoculars and obviously a camera if you like to take photographs. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a real enthusiast, you know, if you had a portable ship-to-shore radio and you know which channels to monitor, you could listen to some of the conversations. Although I must say, you know, much less conversations and things like that occur nowadays because, mm-hmm. you know, now we got such sophisticated navigation systems and you have, you know, telephones and cell phones and things like that, so you don't have as much conversation between captains or so. But you know, there's certainly great opportunities. You know, find a nice spot, find some shade, bring a lawn chair, and you know, maybe a lunch, and sit out and you know, watch the freighters go by. It's a great enjoyable thing to do as a recreational activity and mm-hmm. educational as well. And you know, there's plenty of publications out there that have hand and guidebooks that they'll tell you what the freighters are, what line they work for, give you the history, give you a lot of the statistics on it, so you can kind of build a knowledge of the different ships. I did want to touch on, you were talking earlier about things that why you know we have mishaps in the area, mm-hmm. and I can speak for my experience of what I've seen. I think the my memory goes back quite a ways, but I remember when the Montrose, which is a British a registered ship, cargo ship, came in and. It ran into a barge just under the Ambassador Bridge and sunk in 1962. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I can remember going up the river in our old wooden cruiser and actually going by it and taking a look at it. And we've had a number of mishaps in the river. You know, we had one back in 2020 here where a freighter was going, ship was going down the Livingston Channel and lost power and actually got caught in what we call the hole in the wall that's across from Gros Seal mm-hmm. and spun sideways and blocked the channel. I can remember when the McKeeson, which was a converted freighter with a tugboat, was going down to turn around and park at Edison, and it got caught sideways in the current and got pushed up out of the deep water and up against the shallow water. You know, there was a ship that was up in anchorage up by Belle Isle a year or so ago that lost anchorage and was ran aground up there right in front of Detroit there. Yep. That if you wanted to be a freighter watcher that day, you could have been on the Detroit Riverfront Conservancy and been within a few yards of the bow of that ship when it came
amazing.
In. So, you know, but most of those mishaps are, you know, a lot of them nowadays are mechanically created as opposed to navigation issues because we just become so much more sophisticated now with the equipment that ships have from what they had years ago and certainly back in the days when they were under steam power and sailing. So there's more of those type of things. And I think that's what they're going to find that happened with the ship in Baltimore, that it was a mechanical issue that caused it to lose control.
And I'll just add, Carl, mm-hmm. The ship that Bob just mentioned that was over by Belle Isle, the Mark W. Barker, mm-hmm. it's a beautiful, brand new ship. It was actually, last year was its first season. It was launched.
Wow.
And it's owned by the largest shipping company on the Great Lakes, the Interlake mm-hmm. Steamship Company. Mm-hmm. And Mark Barker, I think, is either the president or the chairman of the company. That it was interesting because that was very, very mm-hmm. early in its career, mm-hmm. And it had run aground. So a lot of people were able to see this beautiful, brand new, massive freighter mm-hmm. up close because it was right there on Belle Isle. That was quite an experience. Mm-hmm. But if you think about the history of the maritime history of the Great Lakes mm-hmm. and there's a lot of stories of shipwrecks, and there's hundreds, if not, I think there's, if I have this right, there's 8,000 or so shipwrecks wow. on the Great Lakes, going mm-hmm. all the way back to, I'm drawing a blank on the captain's name, Dane, mm-hmm. Who was the captain of the first ship that mm-hmm. sank on the Great Lakes, and I think he actually worked for Cadillac. When you know when they were originally exploring
sure. uh-huh.
Michigan or the you know the territory and the Great Lakes area, but if you think about the 8,000 or so shipwrecks on the Great Lakes, things are a lot different today. It's a lot mm-hmm. safer to be sailing on the Great Lakes mm-hmm. because of modern technology and mm-hmm. you know things like that. And it's totally different. But shipping, long story short, shipping has really, or boat watching, has really become quite a travel and tourism piece and a big part of many local economies, especially here in Michigan and along the Welland Canal, like I said, and the Great Lakes and St. Lawrence Seaway. So I think it's really important that we stress today the message that downriver is a wonderful place for people, boat nerds, so forth, people that are just interested in seeing a ship, a freighter, to flock to and experience Great Lakes shipping. And I'll mention real quick too, Bob had talked about some publications and some websites. One of the biggest publications today in getting to know the different kinds of ships and what they do and where they're from is Know Your Ships. It's a local publication. Each year they put out a new version of it, and you can find it at a lot of different stores and a lot of different places, but Know Your Ships. There's other ones like Classic Ships of the Great Lakes is a great publication, but also online, there's a great website called boatnerd.com. And as Bob mentioned, there's an AIS system that you can look at, and you can see when the ships are coming, where they're coming from, what their last port of call was, what their destination is, their estimated time of arrival, exactly where they are at that moment, and when they're going to be coming through the downriver area. You can see all that through the AIS system, and it's on, as I said, a website called boatnerd.com. Anybody could access that. And you can plan your trip, you know, based on the ship that you want to see.
Okay, so since we're on destination downriver, okay, and since you two have perused the Detroit River here, okay, as far as freighters go, if you were traveling in, okay, for a weekend of freighter watching, okay, where would you go? Where would you stay? Where would you eat?
That's a good question.
Let me put you on the spot.
Yeah, so I'm always going to stay and eat with chamber members, local chamber of commerce members.
Okay, but you're not a chamber member in this case.
I'm not. But so I'm going to look at the chamber's website.
Okay.
And I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to look at the directory because I'm going to know these are businesses that are active in the community.
Okay.
They support our local communities.
Okay.
So, you know, we have a lot of brand new hotels actually in the area that are popping up in Taylor and in Southgate.
Absolutely.
You know, I can think of a couple that would be great places to stay. So, you know, obviously I'd stay there, but when it comes to places to eat and visit, of course, you know, downtown Trenton, downtown Wyandotte, you know, there's a lot of great places to visit and eat, and local restaurants to go to, like
You've got a great new restaurant down in Gibraltar, right on the water where you can, you can sit.
JP's
sit
Waterfront. But, you know, I'm drawing a blank on Angle's Corner. You know, where Mark Angelotti and the Angelotti family owns Angle's Corner in downtown Trenton. Great Mexican restaurants open there now and others. Obviously, you know, in downtown Wyandotte, there's a lot of great places. When you're at Bishop Park and you're watching the freighters come in and out along the Detroit River, you can go to the numerous restaurants that are in downtown Wyandotte. So that's a pretty easy question to answer because there's so many options now to visit and explore and to have a good time, you know, here in downriver. But where would you go to see the ships? I think we covered that a little bit earlier, but I would explore all of them. I'd go to Lake Erie Metro Park. Right. I would go to Gros Isle. I'd go to Bellinger Park. I'd go to Bishop Park. You know, I'm going to go to the Rouge River. And Bob was talking about the new park that was built, you know, along the Rouge River. But I do want to also mention that downriver, and this might be a future question that you might have, but we have a legacy of shipbuilding.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Here in the downriver region.
Sure.
You know, I can tell you, Joe Gruber texted me a little while ago. Joe's the economic development director for the city of Wyandotte. And he texted me, he said, between 1871 and 1922, the Wyandotte shipyard built 200 vessels, over 77 of which were for the World War I efforts.
That's
awesome. Yeah, and then Trenton had a historic shipyard that is very well known. There's a plaque that's been put up there over on, you know, West Road and I think Riverside, Riverside. And then, of course, River Rouge, probably the most famous, because you think about the most famous ship that ever sailed the Great Lakes would have been, or is, the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Yeah, okay.
The Edmund Fitzgerald was built in River Rouge, and Bob knows that.
It was built the year after I was born in
1958. And there's footage of the Edmund Fitzgerald being launched.
Right. Sidewalk.
Yeah.
Yes.
At the Great Lakes Works.
Yeah. Right.
At River Rouge. And I know Tom Dalton and Jim Edelman from Under the Radar, they have a copy of that footage. You can pull it up on YouTube.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it's amazing. And there's a story there about somebody who unfortunately had a heart attack because the ship was so massive. Yep. When it went down into the water, it scared everybody that was there
big
watching it.
A big wave came across. You mentioned the shipworks at Wyandotte. It actually is just where the Portofino's restaurant, that was one slip. There was two slips there. And the Columbia, which is the Babalo boat, there was two, the St. Clair. St. Clair was built in Toledo, but the hull of the Columbia was built in that shipyard in early 1900s, and then it was towed up. Once they built the hull and launched it, it was towed up to Detroit to get fitted out. So a lot of history in that as well.
Yep. And I'll just mention too real quick that, talking about destinations and things to do, again, Trenton, Wyandotte, River Rouge, all the riverfront communities, Riverview, business is booming, Carl. Mm-hmm. You know this from being downriver. A lot of new small businesses. As a matter of fact, growth is happening so quickly that the city of Trenton just hired a new downtown development authority director because the downtown is growing massively. Rivertown Tavern, and then obviously we're talking about some of the restaurants like Frank's Pizza, which is a long time well-known tradition in downtown Wyandotte, and the Vault, an award-winning steakhouse. You have District 142, that's the new entertainment concert hall in downtown Wyandotte, Whiskey's on the Water. I mean, the list goes on and on about how many amazing local downriver eateries, are popping up and really just booming throughout the region. And so you can watch the freighters, you can eat, you can stay, have a good time, be entertained, and spend a week or two or a lifetime here in Destination Downriver.
Before we sign off, interesting discussion. Before we came on the air, you had mentioned the Titanic and how you had been thinking about that.
While we're filming, this is the, it's last week was the 112th anniversary of the tragedy of the Titanic.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, that sinking led to a billion different changes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But let's compare some things. Mm-hmm. How big was that boat, which is still looked at as somewhat iconic compared to your typical Great Lakes freighter?
So the Titanic, the RMS Titanic, was 882 and a half feet long.
Okay.
And in 1912, it was the largest moving object on the face of the earth.
Okay.
Nobody had ever seen anything like it. Today, the Edmund Fitzgerald was, I should look this up, but it was somewhere around 700 feet. So not quite as long as the Titanic. Today's super ships on the Great Lakes are over 1,000 feet.
Wow, that's stunning.
Yeah, the Paul... drawing a blank, you got me on the spot. But the longest ship is owned by the Interlake Steamship Company. It's going to come to me as soon as I'm done talking.
Well, okay.
That's how it always works.
You look like you're ready.
I give you a story. I say it again, through my progression of living on the river, one of the things that I was able to do, and it's kind of ironic, but just being in the right place at the right time. But when I was in junior high school, our high school was right on East River, which looked out over the water. And summer of 1972, the first 1,000-foot freighter that was built, the Stuart J. Court.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was actually, parts of it were built down in Pascagoula, Mississippi. And I just didn't realize this, but they built the bow and the stern, and they tacked it together, and it was 180 foot long.
Wow.
And then they sailed it up like that all the way up into the lake, it was... finished up in Erie, Pennsylvania, where they added the middle section and made it 1,000 foot. The Titanic, I think, was probably 40 some thousand ton, about 900 feet. The Court, was 1,000 feet long and 58,000 ton.
Yep.
Oh, now, in perspective of the super ships we have today and even some of the big cruise ships, you know, they're pushing 150, 200, 1,000 ton. I mean, they're monstrous.
It's amazing.
But we were lucky. So we actually, in junior high school, we sat out on the front lawn, were allowed to get out of school and sit there for 2 hours and finally wait for the court to go by, and it was sailing up from where it was built and heading up north to start delivering iron ore and taconite. Wow.
And the court is like, it's one of those kind of weird looking ships. It's a little bit different
than
the others.
Yeah, it actually had the wheelhouse and the bow like the older ships do.
Yep,
most of the bigger ships now have the wheelhouses in the stern.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And it came to me, Carl, as Bob was talking. So it's the Paul Tregurtha is 1,013 and a half feet.
Yeah. Okay.
And that is today the queen of the lakes. It's the largest freighter on the Great Lakes. And when you see it up close, I mean, it's beautiful red, owned by the Interlake Steamship Company, which is based out of Cleveland. Mm-hmm. The ship is massive.
Wow.
I mean, it's like, you know, over 100 feet longer than the Titanic was.
Wow. And these 1,000 footers will never leave the Great Lakes because the locks in the Welland Canal and the St. Lawrence Seaway system are only around 80 some feet wide, and they're 105 feet. So they can traverse up to the UP because the locks up at the Sioux are 110 feet. So they've got about 2.5 feet on either side to squeeze those through, and the locks are over 1,000 feet long. So those ships, unless they cut them up, are not going to be able to leave. And I think there's about a dozen of those 1,000 footers still plying the Great Lakes.
Yeah, there's a few. And my I'll tell you real quick, personally, my favorite ship is the Great Republic, which is one of those 1,000 footers. Okay. And it's got a massive structure that's on, you know, the pilot house and everything is on the stern of the ship. But it's just amazing. Long story short, Carl, it's amazing to see these massive super ships up close. It's a little bit intimidating.
A great advantage to view the boat from the water. If you have a boat or
I spent a lot of time going up and down the river. I mean, I pass within, you know, pretty close proximity, but anywhere along the river. I mean, the Livingston Channel runs up from the Lake Erie and runs past Stony Island and comes in north of Gros Isle, then cuts up along the shoreline and then right on up through Detroit until it leaves out you know, by Pesh Island up at the mouth of the river, by Mariners Park up there. So, I mean, plenty of places to see the boats.
You know, and I'd love to, if you don't mind, Carl, I'd love to get Bob's feedback on this. But one of the things that we often think about is obviously boating safety. Mm-hmm. And people don't realize you got these 700, 800, 900, 1,000 foot freighters that they can't just stop on a dime. I can tell you the Titanic at 882 feet, it took 3 minutes for it to stop.
I'll tell you an interesting story, and we're talking about you know, something different, of things that, you know, you might not think about, but you know, freighters have ways to communicate. You know, they really have no way to communicate directly to a small boat because the radio contact and things like that. So there's a system of horns and whistles they'll blow. And I can be at my house outside on the east side or the west side of Gros Isle, and I can hear a freighter out there. I know where it's at and I know what's going on. If you hear five short blasts in sequence, that's that freighter telling someone to get out of the way. And at this time of year, I hear it all the time because of all the walleye fishermen out there.
Gotcha.
They're fishing around the area. So I know that I can hear, wherever I hear that, I say, well, he's coming out of the Livingston or he's trying to approach the, because there's areas where people fish. So, like I say, freighters, they don't, ships do not move for you. You know, you stay out of their way or you pay the consequences of a small boat.
Yeah, and you don't want to pay those consequences.
Not at all. Not at all.
And I'll tell you, I'll tell you, Carl, when I first moved downriver, and I live in Riverview today, I woke up one morning and for the first time I heard a freighter's horn from my house. And that was an experience. Oh my gosh, that was not a train. That was a Great Lakes freighter. Wow. And so if you live downriver, if you're close enough to the Detroit River, it's awesome to be able to hear those freighter's horns when you're sitting in your yard or sitting in your home. That's a downriver experience that I just love.
Amazing. Well, gentlemen, fascinating discussion. That probably brings us to a close unless you have anything to add. Anybody? No, we're pretty good.
We can go on for another couple hours.
Oh my goodness, Boat Nerd wants to talk more. Yeah. let's sum it up. Ron, thank you for coming in. Bob, it's always a pleasure to have you here. We'll do it again sometime.
Thanks, Carl.
Very good. There is so much to take from freighter watching. Where is the ship from? What is it carrying? How fast is it going? What do the markings on the ship mean? If you are looking for a terrific hobby, go to any of the spots mentioned by our guests today and give it a try. It won't be long before you, like Ron and Bob, are hooked. Thanks to our panelists for joining us today. For Samantha Rickert and Joe Camilleri behind the scenes, I'm Carl Zimak signing off until next month when you'll see us again on Destination Downriver.
Thank you again to our sponsors, Martinson Family of Funeral Homes and Allegra Marketing, with a special thanks to our production partners here at the new Taylor Media Center. Thanks for listening and watching. Please visit our website, destinationdownriver.com, or our Facebook page, and be sure to join us for next month's podcast.